Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour.
We're calling it the Kick Your Bucket List contest for a chance to win a trip for two with VIP passes experience anywhere in the United States. Your hour, the hourly word this hour is member, M-E-M-B-E-R. Head over to WHBC.com. Submit the word member for your chance to win that prize. You've got 1 hour to get it done.
From the studios of News Talk 1480 WHBC, it's Kenny and JT.
I know that song.
So does Cam Cooke.
That's right.
The fight song for the Ohio Bobcats.
Fighting Bobcats.
You like to call them the Fighting Bobcats?
No. Battling Bobcats sounds better.
Okay, you like it better with the BB thing there. Yeah, all right, whatever you want to call them. Our next guest that called in is the head coach for the men's basketball team at Ohio University, Sandy Valley legend, Jeff Bowles, joining us once again on the Kenny and JT Show. Jeff, how are you today?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Hey, Coach.
We're fantastic. Thanks for making time for us today, and we'll get right to it right out of the gate, Coach. Thanks for making a trip back home to Stark County on Monday coming up on the 15th, as you will be speaking at the Hall of Fame Luncheon Club. How much are you looking forward to doing that?
Yeah, there's nothing better than coming home. You know, get to see my mom and dad, a lot of family and friends from Sandy Valley. You know, just a special place to me. And, you know, bucket list, you know, to speak at the Hall of Fame Luncheon. A lot of great people there that, you know, I've been fortunate enough for a couple times now to go up there. And excited to get back up.
Coach, are you prepared for the questions you're going to be asked? Because those guys don't pull any punches, do they?
You know what? It's a very intelligent group. You know, I actually enjoy, you know, the questions and very well thought out. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of transfer portal NIL questions, which, you know, you need more than an hour to answer those things. But, you know, just it's a fun group to be around.
Now, wait a minute. You do know who their president is, don't you?
Hey, he told me you guys are going to give them some flack, and I said I'll stick up for you.
Well, I'm just wondering. I mean, you said they're intelligent, and then you know their president is Frank Solona. Come on, Coach.
Hey, that Sandy Valley education, man. It's there's nothing better.
he is now the second most famous person out of Sandy Valley High School with the emergence of Jeff Bowles in his playing career now as the head coach of the Ohio Bobcats. And Coach, we want to touch on a couple of the topics I think they're going to touch on with you Monday, because JT and I are trying to figure this thing out. And when is the transfer portal start? When does it stop? You know, how many times can you transfer? How many kids can you add? How many can you lose? What can you share with us? And how much of a headache is this for a coach like yourself?
Yeah, I think with anything in life, Kenny, you know, there's change involved. And, you know, a lot of times as coaches, you don't like change, but you have to be able to do it in these times. And, you know, the transfer portal's not going away. NIL's not going away. You know, the way these lawsuits have hit the NCAA, these kids can transfer, you know, pretty much every single year now and be eligible to play. And, you know, it's something you have to navigate.
Coach, I read last week the NCAA meetings. They were talking about just what you just mentioned, the fact that a kid could transfer more than one time. Do you think they're going to revisit that and say, okay, if you want to get into the transfer portal, maybe we should make it to where as if you transfer in, you've got to stay at least one other year? I mean, the only thing they said was you can't transfer in season. That ain't good enough for me.
Yeah, I think you know, where it's going to go like the pro model. Like, you know, I could see, you know, some kids being employees at some point, some not. But there's going to end up having to be some type of collective bargaining, you know, to be able to make rules, right, where, you know, there's not going to be a lawsuit. You know, the Players Association, per se, you know, the schools, we're going to have to come up with something to where, you know, it might be, you know, a two-year deal. It might be, you know, you sign something, and if you do transfer, like a lot of coaches, you know, if you leave, you got to pay a buyout. So I see it eventually in the next few years going down that road.
Happy to have with us the head coach of the Ohio Bobcats, Jeff Bowles. Very good year this year. They finished 20-13, second in the MAC in the regular season, won one tournament game in the MAC tourney, and a tough loss to close it out against Akron. And, Coach, we'll get to the March Madness part of it here in a second, but, you know, the NIL dollars, right? And we're hearing that John Calipari left Kentucky. He's going to Arkansas. And one of the things I heard was he's going to have a large NIL pool of money to dish out because he's got one player on his roster right now. And that's a walk-on kid who scored 1 point this past year. So he has an empty roster where he needs to try and recruit or get kids from the portal. And that NIL money that they have supposedly is going to help him do that. That's at a major school, a Power 5 school. What's the NIL situation like in the MAC with schools like Ohio and Akron and Kent State?
You know, number one, I remember watching that 1 point that kid made. What a big point that was, too. That kid stepped up in that situation. But yep. You know, I think the Power 5 level and our level are completely different. And, you know, like I said, I think the way NIL was designed was to – be able to for a kid to profit off his name, image, and likeness, which it should be that way. And I don't think it was designed to, you know, be like a open market, you know, free for all where, you know, the highest bidder is going to get kids. But I think some places that's where it's come down to. And, you know, our level, there's certain schools in our league that have a lot better, you know, collectives and money than we do. You know, there was a team in our league that, you know, their best player was probably the equivalent of my whole roster. Mm-hmm. So, you know, something, like wow. I said, you got to navigate and you have to kind of go through and, you know, and get through till, you know, there's some type of collective bargaining and, you know, go from there.
Coach, what about playing time? I mean, talk a little bit about recruiting, because for Kenny and myself, we're older guys, and we think about, okay, if we could make it to Division I, doesn't matter if, and I hate to use the term mid-major, because if I could have played at the MAC, I'd have done anything to play at the MAC and play football at Kent State, Ohio, Akron, wherever. But talk a little bit about recruiting, because we talk about this on our program all the time. It's not just about recruiting kids in high school. Now with the transfer portal, you not only have to look there, but you have to look about your own roster and say, hey, man, am I sure this kid's coming back next year?
Yeah, it's you know, it's year to year now. You know, it used to be where you could, you know, plan on, hey, you're losing two kids this year. You need to recruit, you know, two kids, two high school kids. Or, you know, if you, you know, had a transfer sitting out, you know, he was waiting in the wings. But, you know, I think it's all transformational now where, you know, you have to, you know, treat these kids as well as you can and, you know, teach them on the court, off the court. And then at the end of the year, have some honest conversations and you know, figure out what's best for them, what's best for the program, and then, you know, go from there.
Coach, help me. As I just hit 60, my memory isn't as good as it used to be, okay? I'm trying to think of a player that you lost within the last couple of years that played. Was it for Illinois this year?
Mark Sears played for Alabama.
Alabama, that's who it was. Okay, so when you see that, do you get frustrated when you think that he could have still been playing for you? Or are you happy for the kid because of the opportunity he got? I'm just curious as a coach, when you have a kid and he goes elsewhere, what that feeling's like.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're happy for the kid in the sense that he's doing well. I mean, he was a second-team All-American. And, you know, knowing that you had a small part in his development. You know, when we first got him, he had no Power 5 offers. You know, he was shooting probably high 20s from three. You know, he got a lot better, you know, from freshman to sophomore year. And, you know, that's what you want. And, you know, now when we're recruiting, you know, we have a blueprint with Jason Preston, with Mark Sears, of saying, hey, look, our system, here's what it is. Mm-hmm. Here's the type of players we've helped, you know, develop. And then, you know, I think eventually it'll help us.
Coach, I hope so.
Coach, are we going to see the end of the G League due to the NIL and the transfer portal now? And does that make it a little bit easier maybe for your recruiting purposes?
I think maybe not the G League, but the G League Ignite, mm-hmm. those type of, you know, teams where there's an ulterior situation for some of those kids to go to. But, you know, like I said, it's not going away. You know, you have to adapt and adjust and, you know, just do the best you can with what you got. And at the end of the day, it's about helping these young men achieve their goals, and that's what we want to do.
Jeff Bowles joining us here on the Kenny and JT Show, Ohio Bobcats head basketball coach. He'll be speaking at the Hall of Fame Luncheon Club this Monday, April 15th. So those of you going there, it'll be a treat for you to get a chance to listen to Coach and then ask him questions afterwards, kind of like we're doing right now. Coach, all right, let's go back to your season. I watched your game. You and I text, during the tournament all the time, and you win your first game. You come up just short against Akron, 65-62, and JT and I have this conversation all the time. And why hasn't it changed yet, Jeff Bowles, where even though you lost, you deserve a shot, in the NCAA tournament as a second team from the MAC, but it still hasn't transpired that way. What has to happen for the MAC to get not only their automatic bid, but a second team in?
Yeah, I think that's a multi-layered question, Kenny, and I think, on a whole, this might have been, the worst our league was top to bottom, from a strength standpoint, for the conference. And, sometimes it's tough for the top-level teams to get the games you need to play to be able to, get the quad one and quad two games that you need for your schedule to be good. Right. So, when you do get those opportunities, you got to be able to win them. But they're hard to come by, from Akron, Kent, us, Toledo, to get those games.
Coach, I want to ask you about your coaching style because you and Dan Hurley, same age, 51, correct?
51, yeah.
And we see how they're able to recruit at UConn, and they're basically building a dynasty. But we also see this because we watch a lot of NBA. That game has changed. All we do is shoot threes. Has the game changed at the collegiate level yet?
Yeah, I think you're looking at more of a spacing. The NBA has gone away from those big guys per se. It's more of a, if your five man skill can shoot it, there's a place for you. There's not a place for those big low block guys, and they're hard to come by. Especially at the college level, to be able to do so. We've played different ways, multiple years where we've had a low block guy. This year we had A.J. Clayton, who's more of a stretch five, for us in a tough matchup. So there's different ways you can play. A lot of it is who you can get recruiting-wise and then, fitting and adapting your style to the personnel you have.
Coach, we mentioned the fact that when the MAC only gets one team in, it's frustrating from a fan standpoint, whether or not you're alumni from OU. We still call it OU. We know it's Ohio. Or anything else, and you look at this and you say, okay, at some point in time, does frustration ever hit with you to whereas your name is mumbled and we hear, little rumblings here and there that every time there's a job opening, like before Jake Diebler took the Ohio State job, we know you were an assistant there for 7 years under Thad Matta. Does that ever creep into the back of your mind? I mean, you've got to hear those stories too, right?
Yeah, you definitely hear them. I think it's a credit to where you're at and what you're doing and the players you have. Because, nothing happens like first team all league player of the year unless you have a good season. You don't hear of names pop up unless you have a good year. Mm-hmm. And I've been fortunate. Obviously coaching in my alma mater is a special place to me. And, it's going to have to take a really good situation for me to even think about leaving. I got a great president, Dr. Gonzalez. Julie Cromer's my athletic director, has been with me, pretty much my whole career here, and she's been great. So, I feel good about what we have. We've been able to, keep our best players this year, and we need to get a couple pieces in, and I think we got a chance to be really good next year.
JT, he's done it the right way, too, averaging about 20 wins a season, I think 5 years now there at his alma mater, and of course that NCAA run in 2021 where they knocked off the four-seed Virginia, fell a little short to Creighton. And one of the reasons I was really upset, Coach, that you guys didn't make it is I wanted to see you dance again. I'm sitting there watching that Akron OU game. I'm thinking, okay, win this one more, and then we're going to see Jeff Bowles cut the rug in the locker room again. I was upset that that didn't happen.
Hey, not as upset as I was, but, it's hard to win, and when you win, you got to celebrate it. And, I've always been an energetic guy when I played, when I was an assistant coach, and even as a head coach. And, these young players and staff, they pour so much into you know, what goes on with a win, that you have to celebrate them. And unfortunately, you know, weren't able to get it done.
You're speaking at the Hall of Fame Luncheon Club Monday. What's the message?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, me obviously coming back to my hometown, you know, I grew up 15 minutes from there in Magnolia. And there's going to be a lot of people from that area there that, you know, there's a lot of pride. And I think for me, you know, I grew up coming to the steps of the Hall of Fame, going to the enshrinement dinners into the game for years. And it's always a special time. You know, one of the last times I saw my high school coach, you know, Bob Delap, was that the first time I spoke up there. He was able to come before he passed away. So I got great memories up there, and anytime they ask me, you know, I'm definitely going to be there.
All right, Coach, I got to get your thoughts on UConn. Coach Hurley and what he's been able to do, the way they play as a team, the way he took a zero-star recruit and turned him into an NBA player, right? You know, his philosophy, I know it's a copycat league, right? You'll look at some of the things they do, maybe steal a player too, an ATO, you know, after timeout play or whatever it is. Why has UConn done what they've done the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, the impressive thing is maybe how they've done it different ways, right, 2 different years. And they lost a lot of players last year, maybe their whole starting five. And when you have a culture of winning where everybody's selfless and, you know, all they care about is winning, it becomes contagious. And when you win, it's a little easier to get that buy-in. And, you know, they definitely have it. And offensively, they have so many pieces around, you know, each other where if you take one thing away, you know, you might not be able to take another thing away. So, you know, they just have different, you know, pieces and really good pieces. And, you know, they were fun to watch. Right? They were dominant. You know, I think I tweeted that the three teams that beat them, you know, they had to have done something crazy, like shot an unbelievable percentage, or, you know, somebody had to be in foul trouble, because I don't see a weakness on that team.
Yeah, they're scary good. They really are. And I love the coming out of timeouts. They're getting the shot they want, right, that they designed. And I didn't realize this. Maybe you knew this, Coach, being part of the fraternity and everything like that. But Bill Murray's son, Luke, is an assistant coach with Dan Hurley. Is that right?
Yeah, how about that? He's done a phenomenal job. He runs their offense. And what cooler thing to see Bill Murray, right, on the sidelines, you know, coaching or cheering for his son. And, you know, Luke's been a big part of their success.
Yeah, and they're saying it won't be long before he'll start getting looks to be a head coach. So we'll keep an eye out for that. But we always keep an eye out for the Ohio Bobcats and what you're doing in the MAC. And when you come back home, always happy to spread the word again. This Monday, April 15th, Hall of Fame Luncheon Club speaker will be our guest, Jeff Bowles. Coach, thanks for the time, as always. Continued success. Have fun on Monday, and we'll talk again down the road, all right?
Yeah, always a pleasure, and thanks for having me on.